Acts chapter 2, verse 42, when you get there, say, hallelujah. All right. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, we come before you asking you just to help us, Lord, to understand your word, Lord, to see what a healthy church looks like. And I pray we'd apply these truths to our lives and to this church. And just ask you to help us be, Lord, what you want us to be. Help us to follow this pattern that you've given us. And Lord, show us when we're in error. Please help us, teach us, speak through me, Lord. I pray that your word would have free course as it's preached now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I like what we see at the end of this. I'm kind of jumping ahead. But if you get to the end of verse 47, it says, as that this church did the things that God says makes up a healthy church, it says that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we do what God wants, God will add to his church. I believe that. If we just are consistent in it, we just do it regularly, we stay faithful to it, God will add to his church as we've seen him do. I mean, that's what we want God to do, and we want it to just multiply and grow and happen all over this city, all over this state, all over this nation, and just continue to spread. I mean, it really, that's what we want. So now we are going into this, and we've focused on doctrine for quite a while. Verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They got that through preaching, okay? That meant they were there to hear the preaching, to hear the doctrine that the apostles were giving. And then it goes on to say they continued in doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship. So today, tonight, maybe in the next couple weeks or so, we're going to look at fellowship. And what does fellowship mean? Now, one of the great keys of the early church was their unity. And you can see that throughout. It says they had the apostles' doctrine. They had one doctrine. It says they had all things common. There's more unity. And verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. There you see it again. And verse 46 at the end of it, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There you see the unity over and over and over again. And that's probably something we'll focus on as well as we get into this. But one of the great keys to this church was their unity. Their unity was only possible because of their love for one another. Because they spent so much time together. They had unity because they loved each other. And through that, through spending that time, they had the same mind. And this love was able to grow due to their fellowship. That's how the love was able to grow. That's why it's so important that, man, try and spend time here. Before the services, after the services, spend time in fellowship. I mean, we're going to see as we get into this that you think, man, I'm here on Sundays all day. I'm here on Wednesdays, sometimes on Saturdays. You think that's a lot. I'm telling you, look in this right here, in this passage we just read, they were there every single day. Every day. Every day. That's what it says. Oh, let me find the verse here. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Daily. Daily they were meeting there. That was a twofold purpose, by the way, to evangelize and also to meet as a church. That was the purpose of it. So they did it daily. So what we do isn't really necessarily what they did in the Bible. But this love that they had, this unity, was able to grow due to their fellowship. Now, fellowship is this. If you look at it throughout the Bible, fellowship is communicating with one another. It is a partnership. It is communion. It is giving of yourself for the sake of others. That's what fellowship is. If you look at it biblically, it's communicating with one another. That means, obviously, we're here, we're talking, not just like through preaching, but more so after this, when we just spend time getting to know each other, talking about things that aren't even church-related sometimes. It's communicating with one another. By the way, we could say fellowship is also giving. It's also giving. The Bible talks about that type of communication. So communicating with one another, it's a partnership. We're partnering together. It's communion, just having that closeness, and a giving of yourself for the sake of others. We're going to see all this as we go through this. Fellowship with one another is a prerequisite if we are to stay unified and fulfill the Great Commission. We have to have fellowship. That has to be there. If we are to effectively fulfill the Great Commission, we have to have that fellowship. Fellowship could be likened to a rowing team. How many of you ever seen those 8-man rowing teams as they row? I mean, those teams, man, they work in perfect unity. I mean, to even turn that ship just at a command, one side will lift up their oars and the other side puts theirs in, and they know just how long to do it, and they just, it's perfect. It just flows smoothly. That's what fellowship ought to look like. Just that complete unity, them working together, them communicating, the closeness, the bond, they're working as one. It's almost like they're one body. Okay, and that's what this church is to be, one body. We're to work that good and to flow that smooth. That's what we want to be like. They get in the boat, they work as one, they communicate, they work together in order to accomplish the goal of winning the race. Our goal as a church, why we would want to be in fellowship, have that closeness, that unity, our goal as a church is to fulfill the Great Commission. And as we do that, as we walk in this fellowship and have this unity, we will be able to do that. It says there is all these characteristics obviously being taken into account, but the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that's what we want. We want that. We want people to be saved. Now, as we get into fellowship, above all else, our fellowship must be based on truth. It must be based on truth. We just read about it in John chapter 9. Jesus said it. Verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So we have to walk in light. That means if another brother wants to walk in darkness, then they depart. We stay in the light. That's what we have to do. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter how much we love them. It doesn't matter if it's a brother or sister in this church that's a member here. If they want to walk in darkness, we want to help them. We're going to try and bring them back. We're not just going to let them go. But if that's what they want, then that's what they want. We can't stop them. We don't go into darkness because they do. We stay in the light. We want to stay next to the Savior. He says, "I am the light of the world. The night's coming when no man can work." Well, we can work right now because we have the light. And we need to be in that light. So our fellowship has to be based on truth. So go with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1. That's back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 3 and then verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Didn't Jesus say, "I am the light of the world"? Well, the Bible says God is light. So who does that say Jesus is? All right. "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So our fellowship must be based on truth. That's what this verse says right here, verse 7. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." That's where the unity, that's where the fellowship starts, is by walking in truth. We can't start it off by being in darkness and some being in truth. It doesn't work like that. There's no fellowship there then. It can't be biblical fellowship. I mean, you can have, you know, some sort of fellowship or some sort of communion with evil, but it's not going to have anything to do with truth. You can't say, "Well, I walk in truth and darkness." No. "I walk in the light and in darkness." No, it doesn't work like that. It's one or the other. And for us to have true biblical fellowship, it must be according to truth, according to the light of the Word of God. Now, let me just say the key to fruitful fellowship in this assembly, or any assembly really, but here specifically, is personal fellowship with the Lord. We see it in verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Verse 6 now. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So it first starts off with our own relationship with God. If we want to have fellowship and have this church walk in fellowship, it needs to be based on truth. So that first and foremost starts off in our own personal life. That we as individuals are walking in the light, are walking according to truth. We can't get say I'm in fellowship over here, but my personal life is a mess. My personal walk with God is an absolute disaster. No, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why it's incumbent on us. We have to, you know, examine ourselves regularly. And it's not always necessarily in the case of like 2 Corinthians 13 to see if you're in the faith. It doesn't always mean that that's how you examine yourself, although maybe you need to do that. I don't know. But it means even as a Christian, I need to examine my own life. I need to look at the sin in my own life and be willing to fix it and correct it. And if I'm in darkness, then I need to get back in the light. That's what we need to do. And some people would say, well, what is this teaching, sinless perfection? No, because if you just read verse 8, it's clearly not. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Obviously not. Obviously God's saying you're going to need to confess your sin. You're going to sin, you're going to be a sinner, so there's no sinless perfection. It's not talking about that, but it is talking about our fellowship with Him. Our relationship with Him shouldn't be something that's based on darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We ought to walk in the light. Every Christian ought to walk in the light. That's what we need to do. So that's where our fellowship needs to start, is in our own personal lives. If we have fellowship with God, it's going to drive us out of darkness and into the light. Think about that. So if you're in sin, if you've got some sin going on in your life right now, then you know the reason why is because you're not in fellowship with God. You know you're in darkness. I mean, that's it. You say, so well, what do I do then? I don't want to be in darkness. Well, then just start walking with God. Get in the light. Start walking according to truth. That's the light. You walk with Jesus. I mean, it's that simple. Verse 5 says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You say, well, how do I know what it is I need to do? Well, that's why you need to know His word. So I don't know everything it says. Well, just obey what you do know. I got a hard enough time with that. Anybody else have a hard enough time obeying just what they do know the Bible says? I mean, just start with that. But don't harden your heart to this and say, oh, I want to listen to this. Don't do that. So it's so easy to do, and so many people do it. And I know you can sit in church and you can just be like, I don't care, just shut up already. I know you can be like that in church. I don't want to hear this. I know that's possible. It's easy to do. It's easy when something bad happens in your life or some circumstance comes up. I know it is. It's easy to just fight it and say, I'm not even listening. Or you'll be here and maybe you're not saying, just shut up already, but you're here and you just tune it out. You just shut it off and you're just here just like. It's easy to do that. I know it is. I mean, you can look at people. Husbands are great at it, just looking at their wives and staring right at him and thinking about something else and not knowing at all what their wife says. And what was that meme? I like that meme that said, you never listen to me. And the husband thought, he heard his wife say, you never listen to anything I say. And the husband thought, that's a weird way to start a conversation. You don't like that one, baby? No. Every time I read that, I'm like, man, that is funny right there. That is good. But it's easy to do that for all of us, just to be there but not really listening. Don't be like that. See, when you start doing something like that, that's when you're starting to leave the light and you're starting to go towards darkness. When you just start shutting God out and just saying, I don't want to listen to this right now. You might not say, I'm going to go into sin, but you might just say, I don't want to listen to this right now. That's the beginning. Right there. See, we have fellowship. That means communion. Communication, remember? That means I'm communicating with God. That's where our first place of fellowship needs to be. When your prayer life is shut down, guess what? You're beginning to walk in darkness. You're beginning to walk in darkness. And it's easy to let happen. And you've got to just get right back at it. Just get right back at it. I'm telling you, it's easy. With my father passing away, you know, the last kind of week or two, I've been kind of mad. Just thinking he's gone. And just not wanting to talk to God. I haven't been wanting to talk to him. Just because it just I don't know. I confessed my sin this morning. Lord, forgive me for being selfish. Because that's all it is. I was just being selfish. It was just about me. But it's easy to let happen. It's so easy for it to just one step at a time as you walk into darkness and God says, no, come back, have fellowship with me. I like it when it was defined like this. Fellowship is like two fellows in a ship. And you're right there talking to each other, communicating with one another, getting to know each other. And that's what God wants from us. That's why it's so key that our relationship with Him must be first. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship. Don't have fellowship with them. Don't have relationship with them. That's what it's saying. Don't have a relationship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So if it's saying that about the unfruitful works of darkness, and God says that our fellowship needs to be with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we're to walk in the light. We're to have fellowship with God. Then that means we're to have a relationship with God, not shut Him off. How many of you have ever gotten a phone call on here and man, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing to have caller ID, because now you're like, nah, I ain't answering that one. Anybody ever done that? You just kill the fellowship, kill the communication. You're like, nah, I don't want to talk to that person. Why do we do that to God, though? How many of you read your Bible today? Yesterday. And I'm telling you right now, reading John chapter 9 right now didn't count. Okay, that doesn't count as your Bible reading for the day. I mean, it is Bible reading, but that's not your relationship with God. You just wait to do it on church. Where's the communication with Him? See, if we want to have a healthy church, and a healthy church is going to be a church that has fellowship, then before you ever get here, it starts with God. It starts with your walk with God, with your Bible reading, your prayer, your communication, your relationship with Him, your closeness, your fellowship. When we as individuals walk in fellowship with God, it gives us the basis for fellowship with each other, which is truth. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And then now verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. So again, if we walk in fellowship with God, that gives us the basis for fellowship with each other, which is truth. The basis for our fellowship with one another is truth. It says, ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our... Well, let me back up. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now get this, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So if our fellowship is with the Father and Jesus Christ, then that means it's in truth. It's according to truth, because Jesus is light. God is light. We saw that. So that means it's going to be according to truth. So before you can have that fellowship with others, they need to be walking in truth. They need to be walking with the Father, or having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And verse 7 says basically the same thing, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So when can we have fellowship with another brother or sister in Christ? When they're walking in the light, when they're walking according to truth. And that's what we have to base it on. It can't be outside of that. Or otherwise, it's not biblical fellowship, and it's not going to be like Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We're not going to be a healthy church if it's not based in truth. Remember, that goes right back to doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's truth. So our fellowship has to be based on truth. You see how this is building all, it's all saying the same thing. It's all focused on the same thing. It's all got to be generated around truth. And there's, I mean, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? People ask that today, what is truth? And they don't want to believe it. They want to get mad about it. I mean, at the funeral for my father, it wasn't even a funeral, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. It was a weird thing, but I'm just going to call it a funeral. The funeral for my father, I got up and I shared the gospel, and I had family. They got mad, visibly mad. I could see them mad about it. They rejected truth. They said, well, I don't believe that's truth. It doesn't matter. If I don't believe in gravity, it doesn't matter. Gravity is still gravity. It's going to do whatever it does. I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't believe 2 + 2 = 4. So what? I mean, does that bother you? If someone says, it's 5, you say, okay, if you want to believe that, you can be wrong all you want. I mean, truth is truth, whether people like it or not. And it doesn't change. See, our society today so much teaches that truth changes. It's flexible and it's subjective and it's whatever you want it to be. If that's true for you, that's great. And I'm so happy for you. And all roads lead to Rome, even though all these different religions disagree on everything, but they're all truth. No, that's foolishness. That is foolishness. There is absolute truth. Then how can you say anything's wrong? How can any of these murders that took place at Parkland or whatever, how can you say it's wrong if there's no truth, if there's no absolute truth? I mean, the people that say this stuff do not think. They don't. They say there's no absolutes. They're making an absolute statement when they say that. They're conceding that there's absolutes when they say there's no absolutes. Because to say that there's no absolutes means that's an absolute statement. I hope you understand what I'm saying with that. So our fellowship, again, needs to be based on truth. It needs to be based on doctrine. And outside of sound doctrine, there can be no fellowship. John says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." The truth that you're told, what we've seen and heard, whether it's salvation or whether it's the truth that you're being presented with as a saved person, namely the doctrine of Christ, if it's outside of that, there is no fellowship. It has to be based on truth. Guess what that means? Then if someone's not saved, there's no fellowship here. It doesn't mean we can't talk to them and be nice to them and, hey, keep coming to church, hear the truth. But when it comes down to us being a church and the fellowship that we're going to have and the Lord's Supper and things like that, no, there's no fellowship. There's certain things you can't do here because you're not walking according to truth. You're not walking in the light. If someone wants to join this church and they're saved but they're not walking in the light, be it they're in sin, whether it's some sin that would keep them, they're a drunkard or something like that, or if they're wrong doctrinally, how can we have fellowship with them if they're walking in darkness? How can we bring them in as a member when they're in darkness, when the Bible says clearly that we can have no fellowship with them? Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus, with His Son, Jesus Christ. And God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. But they're walking in darkness. Then how can we bring that darkness into light if they're wanting to stay in that darkness? That doesn't make any sense. We can't have fellowship with that. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you're already not in truth. You're already in darkness and you're wanting to come here and be part of truth. I don't think so. That doesn't fit. See, if we allow someone like that to come in and become a member here, we're just destroying the fellowship and we're destroying the unity. And I know, look, people look short term. I'm telling you right now, this is how most preachers look, short term. Someone wants to join the church, great, bring them in. You just destroyed the unity and the fellowship that your church had. And there may be short term gain. But what you're doing is you're making a mixed multitude. What do I mean by that? You go back to Exodus, and when you see the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. It mentions that specific statement. It says, and the mixed multitude, meaning there was some that came with them that they weren't wanting to really follow God, but they saw something was going on there, and they just joined up with them and went out with them. And there's a lot of people like that in churches. They're a mixed multitude. They're lost. They don't know the Lord. They might think they do, or maybe they know they're not, but they've joined the church, and they're in there, and they're corrupting it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And because church discipline is non-existent, it doesn't happen, none of those people ever get purged out. Now, the best way to prevent it from happening, because no one wants to do church discipline, I'm telling you right now, I never want to. I don't want to ever have to do church discipline, ever. The best way to prevent from having to do it is to guard that door right there. Not that door, the waters. Don't let them join. Check first. People might think, well, you guys are too hard. Well, I'd rather be closer to the Bible and be too hard than be wrong and have someone come in, and they come in and destroy this. I'm telling you, one person can destroy a church. One person can get in here and start whispering things and backbiting and doing all these types of things. I'm telling you right now, it's happened in churches too many times to admit, too many times to even bring up, where one person can get in and they'll just start, you know, saying something. Oh, the pastor said this, or oh, so-and-so said this over here. And they just start spreading that little thing, and it's like cancer, and it just spreads farther and farther and gets to everybody. And then all of a sudden, no one's content anymore. No one's happy. There's no fellowship. The unity's been destroyed. Why? Because no one's walking in truth. They're walking in darkness. Because we allowed the darkness to come in.
Right.
Because we didn't guard it. That's why we have to watch it in our own lives. That's why we have to look at our own life and our own walk with God. Again, going back to our fellowship as individuals with the Lord. And then secondly, that anyone coming in walks in truth. And if someone is a member here and they decide to stop walking in truth, then we do have to take corrective action. Now, it doesn't mean you're just, you're out by, no, we go to talk to them and say, hey, what's going on here? You know, we want to help you fix this and hope if they repent, praise the Lord, good. Amen. That's what we wanted. We don't want to kick you out. That's the last thing we want to do. We do not want to do that. We can't have fellowship with them, though, if they're walking in darkness. Fellowship also speaks greatly of unity. It says we're both in the light and we're following Him. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's unity. That's unity. We're both walking in the light. We're both going the same way. Whichever way the Lord lights up the path, that's the way we go. That's unity, and that's where there's power in that, I'm telling you right now. There is power for us as a church if we walk in unity. According to truth. Again, it's always based on truth. Unity of the Word of God. We have to build our lives on that. The direction, the ministries that we start, and the things that we do as a church need to be based on truth. And we need to keep the focus on the main thing. The main thing is the Great Commission. It's all of it. It's not just evangelism. That's not just the only thing. It has to be baptizing and seeing churches started and discipling people and training them up to do the same thing. It can't just stop at just evangelizing people. I've seen way too much of that. And you can't even call it evangelism. I mean, it's sloppy evangelism at best. And that's not according to truth. That's not according to the Word of God. But if we're both in the light, then we will have fellowship. John 8, 31 and 32. I just love these two verses right here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. I'm telling you right now, that's the key to a strong church. One of the keys. I mean, there's a bunch of keys I'm talking about. But that is absolutely essential to it. Is that members of a church are disciples. They're continuing in God's word. But what does that mean? They're walking in light, right? We've got fellowship now because we're both in the light. If you got one disciple and one isn't, guess who's not walking in the light? One is. How can you have fellowship? How can you have unity? You can't. That's why all of us need to be disciples. We need to be continuing in God's Word, doing what God's Word says. That's what we need to do. Now look at the next verse. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples. Indeed, verse 32, a lot of people quote this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, what's that talking about? The light. The light. Isn't that what we see happening here in 1 John? Contrast that with truth and with the light. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See, there it is right there. Light, truth. Darkness, lies. I mean, that's exactly what it's saying. So, hey, if we continue in His word, we're His disciple and we shall know the truth. God says, I'm going to show you more truth. I'm going to keep you in the light. Just continue in what you know you ought to do. So many Christians get messed up and they freeze. They get stunted in their growth. And I'm telling you, they're saved and they get stunted in their growth because they don't do what they know they should be doing. And God says, I'm done showing you anything. Look at that. It's right there. Turn to John 8, 31 and 32. Turn there. I want you to see it. John 8, 31, when you get there, say amen. All right, it says, if ye continue in My word. So God's got a conditional promise here. If you do this, then this. That's what He's telling us right here. If ye continue in My word. So what's incumbent on us to do? What do we need to do? Continue in His word, right? So is that for just the preachers? No, who's that for? The preachers and. It's for all of us. If ye continue in My word. So we need to continue in His word. What does He say? Then If then, so if we continue in his word, then what? Then are ye my disciples indeed. So if we continue in his word, that makes us a disciple. If we walk in the light, we're a disciple. If we walk according to truth, we're a disciple. Okay, so if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And this continues that if then. Okay, so if we continue in his word, then we'll be a disciple. And what else? What's that? We'll know the truth. God says, I'll show you more. That's what he's saying. I will show you more. You'll know the truth. And it's in the truth that we'll be made free. See, people think, oh, that Christianity is bondage. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. That's because you're servants to sin. That's why. You're already in bondage. You don't even know. You're so blind. The devil's got you so blind you don't even know it. You're already in bondage to your own sin. You're a servant to your sin. Stop serving your sin. You can't because you're in bondage to it. You're shackled to your sin. You're a servant to your sin. Your sin is your master, and you bow down and worship your master. You're a servant to your own sin. But God says, hey, continue in my word. Do what you know you ought to do, and I'm going to show you more. And that truth will make you free. I'm telling you, that's how you get victory over sin, by the way. You start walking in the light, and God will give victory. I've seen it more than once in my life. More than once. And guess what? When I go into the darkness, guess what? I put the shackles back on. Put them back on me. That's what happens. You're just saying, put the shackles back on. I like that bondage. I don't like liberty. I don't like being free. Now, see, we need to walk according to truth. And when we're all doing it, then guess what? We have sweet, sweet fellowship. And that's what we need. We need that in this church. We need that in our own lives. But look, before we even talk about doing it in our church, how's your own personal life? How's your fellowship with God in your own personal life, your own walk? Teenagers, moms, dads, sons. How is your own personal walk? Did you talk to God today? Yesterday, the day before that? I mean, what is it like? Is it hit and miss? There's no spiritual strength in that. You're not continuing in his word. As we do that, he says, you'll know the truth. You say, I want to know more of the Bible. Good, then obey what you know you should do. Obey what you know you should do. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting what you know you should do. Kill your flesh. Kill your flesh. I know it's never easy. It is never easy. I hate telling my flesh no. Now, that's my biggest enemy, looks me in the mirror every day. I'm telling you right now, that's the most true statement I've ever heard. The biggest enemy I have is the person that looks me in the mirror every single day. And I got to fight that guy every single day. You know, we talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yeah, the world's there, the flesh, the devil's there, but it's my flesh. Because my flesh wants to go after the things of the world, my flesh falls for the temptations the devil throws me. It's always my flesh. My flesh is my biggest enemy. And I'm assuming it's your biggest enemy too. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But we got to kill that flesh. We have to walk in the light. So continue in what we know we ought to do. Start with the basics. I mean, forget everything else. You say, but there's so many things. Then drop all of them and just start reading your Bible every day. Just start reading your Bible every day. Just, I'm telling you, just 3 chapters a day. I don't care. Just start in Matthew. I don't even care. Just pick anywhere and start reading 3 chapters of your Bible every day. Just read through the whole New Testament, 3 chapters a day. If anything, just start right there, 2 chapters a day. I mean more, but start somewhere. If you say, I'm just too overwhelmed with all this, then just start with that and obey what you read. Obey what you're shown. Just do that. Listen to the preaching. Let it change you. Let it change you. It's hard to argue with a changed life. It's hard to argue with someone's changed life. We just read about it in John chapter 9. That blind man, he had a changed life. You can't argue with that. They brought his parents up. Was he born blind? Yep. They're like, oh, great. This guy's doing all kinds of miracles. They couldn't argue with it. See, a lost sinner may not like your God, but they can't argue with your changed life because of your God. They can't argue with the fact that you live different than they do because of your God. They can't argue with that. Why are you changing all of a sudden? Why are you doing things different? Don't be ashamed to tell them. Because my God dictates that. My God tells me in His Word how to live, and I haven't been living up to it. And I just want to follow my Savior as best I can. They asked you, don't be ashamed to tell them. I didn't always know how to say that. I didn't have anyone telling me to say that to people. So I didn't know what to say. I just, you know, it caught me off guard when people would say, what's different about you? Now I'm just like, I'm a born-again Christian. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I want to please my Savior. Now that I'm a preacher, it's a little bit different. I mean, people just kind of expect it. But before then, you know, if people don't know that I'm a preacher, you know, I'll just tell them flat out right in the front. Right up front. I'm not hiding nothing. I love Jesus. Just obey what you know you ought to do. Continue in His Word. Be His disciple. And have fellowship with Him. If you have fellowship with Him, I'm telling you right now, if you have fellowship with God, you're not going to walk in here with a grumpy, sorry attitude and not want to have fellowship with other people here. You won't. You will not. It won't happen. I'm telling you, because you'll be walking in the light. We'll be walking in the light. And we'll be like, man, we're walking in the light. And we'll want to talk about it. You will not come in here like a grouchy grump and just be like, mm. You won't do that because you're going to be walking in the light. And you're going to, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying what the Lord taught me. Man, God showed me something in my Bible today. I love it when God shows me something in my Bible. I love it. How many of you like that? Amen. About half of you, the rest of you. Maybe you've never been shown anything. I don't know. Or maybe you just didn't raise your hand. Maybe you turned me out already. I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. Man, I love it when God shows me something. It gets me excited. I'm like, I'll stop right there. Thank you, God, for showing me that when I'm reading my Bible. It's awesome. Let's walk with Him in our own lives. And we'll have fellowship here. Father, we love You.